Now, I don't know what you think about your own life, but one of the sad things about some people is that they're born in this world without really knowing what they're here for. And one of the good things that we have as Christians, and one of the good things about the Bible, is the way that it helps us to understand what life is all about. If we didn't have the creator of the universe telling us what life is about and where it's to be found, then it's quite likely that many of us would conclude that if everything has come about by some sense of chance, like it's some kind of random fluke, then what's the logical conclusion to draw from that? The conclusion to draw is that life here on earth, if it's all just one random fluke, doesn't have any ultimate purpose to it. We come to the view, like many atheists today have, that human life is intrinsically merely a form of animal life. Even if the human race as a species has a greater intellectual ability than the other species that inhabit this planet, we are, when all is said and done, just animals. And just like animals, we live life here on this planet for a time in a hostile world before ultimately dying, decaying, and disappearing. That's what a lot of people think life is all about. But is that all there is to life in reality? Now, many in the scientific world arrogantly proclaim that what can't be measured by our senses, or what can't be measured by the observational devices that supplement our senses, if it can't be measured, well, it doesn't exist. But we need to realise that our senses and the machines that we create to supplement our senses are ultimately limited. There's no way for all of our technological advancement that our powers of observation can see everything that exists. That is why when God, whose powers of observation aren't limited, who does know everything that exists, when he, the creator of this universe, speaks to us about what life is about, we should be keen to listen to him. A large part of growing in wisdom is being humble enough to admit that we don't know all the answers, and therefore we need to listen and learn from those who have more knowledge than us. Now, is there anyone who has more knowledge than God? Well, let's listen to him when he speaks. Let's learn from him. And the thing that we learn from our passage today in Proverbs 10, verses 6 to 10, is that there are two ultimate destinies for human beings, depending on what kind of person they are. The two ultimate destinies are blessing on the one hand and ruin on the other, depending on whether we are righteous or wicked. The righteous, it says here, will experience blessing, whereas the wicked will be ruined. Now, the idea that the righteous will experience blessing is spoken about in verses 6 to 7. We're told that blessings are on the head of the righteous. Now, the righteous, according to Malachi 3:18, are simply those who serve God. If we're committed to God and his way of life, assuming that we're walking in the way of life by living out God's word, what will be our ultimate destination? Where does the way of life lead to? Well, it's not called the way of life for no reason. The way of life leads to life. By following God, we're heading in the right direction. We're heading in the direction of life. And blessing lies at the end of that road. Experiencing life in all its fullness, that's what lies ahead. The Bible tells us that life isn't found in food or drink or sex or worldly achievement. You can eat chocolate ice cream or drink the finest types of coffee as much as you want for the rest of your life, and while it might make you feel good, it won't make you live forever. You can be successful in business
or in making money. But billions of dollars in your bank account isn't enough to stop you from dying. The only thing that leads to life in the fullest sense of the word is if God's favor is upon us. If God's favor is upon us, then he will shower down his blessings upon us. So much so that ultimately we will live forever in a world that is itself 100% full of God's blessing. And verse 7, we're told that even the memory of the righteous will become a blessing. What do they mean by that? Well, back in ancient Israel, people would bless others by remembering people that God had blessed in the past and taking the blessedness of such people as a point of comparison for the person that they were wanting to bless. For example, in Ruth 4, when Ruth married Boaz, the people blessed Ruth by saying, "May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel." You see what they're doing there? They're basically saying, "May Ruth be blessed just like Rachel and Leah, who were the wives of Jacob, who gave birth, with the help of their maids also, to 12 sons, who went on to be the ancestors of the 12 tribes of Israel." This is the sense in which the memory of the righteous becomes a blessing. The righteous are remembered by subsequent generations as being blessed by God. The righteous of previous generations stand out as examples for subsequent generations. And even if no one remembers you in 100 years' time or so as being a faithful follower of God, God, well, he never forgets. And ultimately, on the day of resurrection, when it comes to our time to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and to hear him say that through faith in him we are righteous, our names will be seared on the collective memory of the human race as being one of the few yet many who have been blessed by God. Blessing, divine blessing, is ultimately what will be experienced by the righteous, and Solomon is reminding us of that. But compare this positive destiny of the righteous with the destiny of the wicked. According to these proverbs, here in Proverbs 10, verses 6 to 10, what is the ultimate destiny of the wicked? You tell me. What's the ultimate destiny of the wicked according to these verses here? Have a look in the second half of verse 7. What do we see? The memory of the righteous might well become a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. That's what we're told. Now, according to Malachi 3:18, once again, the wicked are those who don't serve God. What's the ultimate destination of such people? Well, if you're not walking on the pathway of life, what road are you walking on? And where are you headed? There are only two basic pathways in life. There's either the way of life that you're walking on or the way of death. So if you're not walking on the pathway of life, then you're walking on the pathway of death. And at the end of the pathway of death is ruin and eternal destruction. It's the opposite, the complete opposite of life and blessing. It's death and destruction. You'll be living, if you're following that road, eternally, eventually, in a zone which is constantly, unceasingly under God's curse. And the names of the people who end up there will rot eternally, we're told, because the individual that those names identify will be imprisoned there without any possibility of relief or escape. Friends, the Bible tells us quite clearly that there are only two pathways in life. And the final destination of those two pathways is the polar opposite of each other. It's the difference between life and death. And we need to remember this fact. You know, so often, living in the world, we can easily get caught up in the ways of the world. Human beings basically are great imitators. It's part of our nature. Think of what babies doing. They're always imitating the things that they see around them. It's how we learn. But one of the great dangers we face as imitators is that if the examples around us aren't good, it's all too easy for us to take on the same habits and values of the people that we see around us. So if we're not careful, if we don't keep in mind the great difference that exists in the destiny of the wicked compared to the righteous, when we're surrounded on all sides by so many who are walking in the ways of the world, it's really easy for us to join them, heading in the wrong direction. So don't be sucked in. Don't forget that what we're talking about here has massive implications for your ultimate destiny. Blessing or ruin? Eternal life or eternal death? That's what's at stake here. And God is wanting us to realize that and to make sure that we're keen to avoid the terrifying fate of the wicked. And we avoid that by being committed to God's way, by being committed to walking in the pathway of righteousness. And the Proverbs here in these verses help to contrast some of the characteristics of the wicked in comparison to the righteous. How are the wicked characterized in these verses? So we get a bit of a feel. What does it mean to be one of the wicked? Well, it's interesting that what the wicked do with their mouth or their lips is prominent in what characterizes them as being wicked. Have a look in verse 6. Verse 6, it says, "The mouth of the wicked conceals injustice." Now, in terms of human psychology, the Bible tells us that a fast connection exists between the heart and the mouth. So often we speak without thinking, don't we? Or more accurately, whatever thought comes into our mind is too often expressed immediately by our mouths. And what that means is that how we speak is a pretty good gauge of the state of our hearts. And that's why the mouth of the wicked often conceals injustice. The wicked haven't experienced God's mercy, so they treat others without mercy. They're often thinking of how to harm others, how to get revenge, or simply how to benefit themselves at the expense of those around them. They don't treat others fairly and often respond violently to anyone who gets in their way. The wicked are also pictured in verse 10 as being those who wink their eye and who cause hurt or pain to others. The idea of winking an eye here is a picture of hatred and scheming. A classic description of such a person is given to us in Proverbs 6, verses 12 to 14, where it says, "A scoundrel, a wicked man, walking with a crooked mouth, winking with his eyes, scraping with his feet, pointing with his fingers, always plotting evil with perversity in his heart, shoots forth contentions." Out of their selfishness, they end up hurting other people. That's what the wicked are like. In verses 8 to 10, they're also described as having foolish lips, where it talks about a chattering fool there. Literally, it's foolish lips that are being talked about. They utter foolish words. The destiny of such people is that they'll be thrust down. They'll be overthrown. They'll be destroyed. In verse 9, we see that the wicked are those who twist their paths. They don't live honestly. They don't follow the straight and narrow. Instead, they make up things as they go, going this way and that, telling lies where necessary to get ahead. But no matter how much they might try to deceive others, in the end, their crooked ways will be found out. God knows exactly how they've been living and what they've been doing. And he will reveal their crookedness before the eyes of the world on the day of judgment. Thrust down, squashed, destroyed. That's the destiny of the wicked. But let's contrast the characteristics there of the wicked with those of the righteous. Now, obviously, the righteous should have a better standard of speech. Nicer words should emanate from cleaner hearts. But the description of the righteous in these verses focuses on wisdom, obedience, and integrity. In verse 8, we're told that the wise of heart receives commandments. Instead of speaking foolish words from a foolish heart, the righteous prefer to listen and to learn from others, especially from God. Wisdom, from a biblical perspective, stems from the fear of God. The wise person knows that God is all-knowing and all-powerful. The wise person is humble. He respects God's knowledge and fears God's awesome power. The wise person knows that getting offside with God is the way of death and destruction. So that's why the wise of heart wants to listen to God and to receive his commandments. If God instructs us through his word, then friends, we need to receive his teaching. That's the wise thing to do. So the question that is posed to us today from these words in relation to this issue is, are you keen? Are you keen to listen to God and to learn from him? And if you're keen, well, what are you doing to make sure that you're learning from God on a daily basis? We have the secrets to life in all its fullness here in God's word. So let's not waste our time by listening to the voice of fools rather than to the voice of God. And notice too how the righteous live, according to verse 9. In contrast to the wicked, who twist their paths, the righteous walk in integrity. Now the word translated as integrity there has the idea of wholeness or completeness associated with it. It describes the kind of person who is as they should be, with nothing lacking in terms of what God would like to see in us. A person who's morally healthy and whole because he or she is taking their relationship with God seriously. In Psalm 18, verse 23, David parallels the idea of being blameless or having integrity before God with the idea of keeping oneself away from sin. The person with integrity before God consistently seeks to do the right thing as far as God is concerned. And verse 9 tells us the person who walks in integrity walks securely. Listening to God and walking in his way, we're walking on safe ground. God will protect us and guide us through the dangers inherent in the world around us until the fullness of life is our experience when his kingdom comes completely to rule the earth. Now, one of the helpful things about passages of the Bible like we see here that are part of the wisdom literature of the Bible, one of the helpful things that we see from passages like this is the way in which there are two basic types of people with two opposite destinies. It's something that we can't run away from. It's forcefully presented to us in the wisdom literature of the Bible. And most of the Proverbs, if you were to look through them from Proverbs chapter 10 through to Proverbs chapter 22, they're short two-line Proverbs in which the two lines commonly contrast the righteous with the wicked. It's like you've got the righteous is X, but the wicked are Y. And as was established in the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, people can be categorized into two basic ways, morally and spiritually. We're either following in the pathway of wisdom or we're following in the pathway of foolishness. We're either responding to the call of Dame Wisdom or listening to the voice of Madam Folly. Now, those who listen to the voice of wisdom are known in parts of the Bible like this as being the wise, or the righteous, or the upright. Whereas those who listen to the voice of folly are known as the foolish, the wicked, the perverse. The question for us, however, is, what category do we belong to? Are you listening to God and seeking to follow him? That's what the righteous do. Or have you been captured by the seductive yet destructive ways of the world? That's what's happened to the wicked. Please remember, what we're talking about here is the difference between blessing and ruin. And honestly, which one do you prefer? Do you want to be blessed? Or do you want to be destroyed? If experiencing the fullness of the blessings of eternal life in the presence of God forevermore is preferential over rotting eternally in hell, then what we need to do is to make sure that we belong to the community of the righteous. Through faith in Jesus, through hearing Jesus' word and seeking to put it into practice, by having wisdom in our heart and walking with integrity before God, we are counted by God in his grace as being members of the community of the righteous. Friends, God wants us to walk in his way. He wants us to progress along the pathway leading to eternal life. He wants us to have wisdom in our hearts. He wants us to receive his word and to walk before him with integrity. Righteousness or wickedness? Blessing or ruin? Two different ways in life with two totally different destinations. In which direction are you currently heading?